Okay, I heard recently from Rav Schlesinger Shlita about concerning, he spoke about this before Pesach, but it's Nageya to us now after Pesach, that on Pesach we received freedom, and instead of being Avodim to Paroi, now we have to translate that to become Avdei Hashem. In other words, in Mitzrayim, our totality was to Paroi, our body, our chushim, our senses, everything. He controlled us, he owned us. We were slaves to Paroi, and now that we became free, so we have to channel that freedom to become servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought a Hagdama, the introduction to the Shas and Tshuva's Oneg Yontif, who explains a pasuk that we said today in Halal on Rish Chodesh. We say in Halal, Ono Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amasecha, Hashem, I am your slave, your servant. I'm the servant, the son of your maidservant. That is my mother. Pitachto lemoisei roi. You opened up my bonds. And we're going to explain what bonds did Hashem open up. Lecha ezbach zevach toida. I'm going to bring a sacrifice of thanks to you, Hashem. U'b'shem Hashem ekra. And I'm going to call out the name of Hashem. So the Oinig Yontiv explains this pasuk as follows. I am a servant of Hashem, and I was born from a mother who was a maidservant of Hashem. In other words, I was born into slavery. Just like in Mitzrayim, the second and third generation that were in Mitzrayim, they didn't know anything about chayrus, about freedom. The first generation that became slaves, they knew freedom, and then they became slaves. But the second generation, third generation, they were born into slavery. They didn't even know their mother was a slave, and they were a slave. They didn't know what freedom is all about. So concerning avdus for Hashem, we too are avodim, that our mothers were avodim to Hashem. We don't know of any other, that's the way it should be, that we don't know any other thing except to be an eved to Hashem. Now, if we are to be such avodim to Hashem, really, Hashem, what should he have done? He should have made us like robots, that we have no bechira. In other words, that our limbs automatically do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Hashem didn't do that. Pitachto lemoisei roi. You opened up my bonds. Hashem gave us bechira that we don't have to be servants of Hashem. Why did Hashem do that? Because through our bechira, if we decide to be an eved of Hashem, then we will get schar. That's the whole reward in Olam Abba, is because we decided willingly through our own bechira that we will act as avodim of Hashem, and through by decision of our own free will.
But your environment affects you.
One second, and that's why. What do we say? Therefore, since pitachto lemoisei roi, you opened up my bonds, and you let me rebel against you, and I don't rebel against you. I do what you want me to do. Memela lecha ezbach zevach toida, because of this ubishem Hashem ekra. Because I know that this is the way that I'm going to get schar in Olam Haba, only because you allowed me, you gave me the ability not to serve you, and yet I am deciding I will serve you. So that's why lecha ezbach zevach toida.
But what about your environment?
So what about it? That's part of your bechira.
Your mother screamed out, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. You don't have so much bechira. If you grew up in such an environment.
We find, unfortunately, we find many people today who grew up and they rebel and they go away. We still have bechira. Okay, now recently there was handed out in the OU, not everybody got it, some Rabbanim got it from Rabbi David Holzer Shlita. He put out a Haggadah from Rav Soloveitchik Zitzal. So in that Haggadah, I saw on over during the Seder, I saw that he says a profound thought. We say avodim hayinu lefaroi b'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pari in Mitzrayim. So Rav Soloveitchik says that in Chumash, for example, you find the avdei Paroi spoke to Paroi. So Rav Soloveitchik says there's a difference, a very fundamental difference between avdei Paroi, the servants of Paroi, or avodim hayinu lifaroi b'Mitzrayim. What's the difference? When you ask a person, this, a marshal, you ask, who is that person? And the answer they give you is, that person works at the OU. That's not telling me who that person is. That's telling me the job, the vocation, the location where that person works. But that person has a whole life outside of the OU. So, in other words, it's not defining the essence of who the person is. Avdei Paroi meant those slaves of Paroi, their whole metzias, their whole essence, they were slaves to Paroi. Klal Yisrael, even when we were avodim in Mitzrayim, it was like a job. We were avodim to Paroi. But that's not our essence. Our essence was... I mean, certainly we could say it about the 1/5 of the Jews who didn't die in Mitzrayim. The 4/5, maybe they didn't have that. That's why they were punished. They didn't survive. But the 1/5 that left Chamushim, 1/5 left Mitzrayim, that 1/5, they never became Avdei Paroi. They only remained avodim liparoi b'Mitzrayim. They had a job. They had to be a servant of Paroi. But their essence was to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to want to get out of Mitzrayim. Tavdu neselikim alahor hazeh, that we will serve Hashem on this mountain, on Har Sinai, when we get the Torah. That was their goal. So the avdus didn't become their metzias; it didn't become their essence, like the avdei paroi. So therefore, based on this thought, I wanted to say that what Rav Schlesinger said, that we have to now take our freedom and become avodim of Hashem instead of avodim l'paroi, but there's another point here. We have to become a different kind of servant. Because by Paroi, we were avodim to Paroi. By Hashem, we have to become avodim of Hashem. I think there's a chilek, the way it seems to me. This is my own, I was thinking about it for quite a while, but this is what it seems. It says, Vayomas Moshe Eved Hashem, at the beginning of Yeshua. Moshe is called an Eved Hashem. The Radak explains that an Eved means that an Eved is not a 95% Eved and 5% free. Either you're an Eved or you're not an Eved. So an Eved means you're 100% obligated to your master. To your entire body, everything is for your master. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had no existence without Hashem. So the Targum on the words of Chumash, of Tanavi, Vayomas Moshe Eved Hashem, the Targum says, Avda de Hashem, de Hashem, the Eved of Hashem. So what I'm trying to say is there's a difference of shell or le. Ba avodim hayinu, like Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, lifarim mitzvah. We were avodim to paroi. That was our job. That's where we worked. But that wasn't our metzias, our essence. Our essence was to be like Moshe. That was the goal. Not many people are able to come to the madrega that Moshe achieved. Moshe achieved that he was Eved Hashem, means of Hashem, not to Hashem. Because to Hashem would mean that you have a different metzias essence than service of Hashem. That's two. That's your job. But that's not you. When you say that he is an eved of Hashem, then that means that's your metzias. That's your whole. That's what Moshe was, and that's what we say in Brich Shemay when the Torah is taken out. The Yekesh Jews do not say it for various reasons, but most of Kol Yisrael says Brich Shemay. But after Vayhi Ben Tzori Haron, we say Brich Shemay, and in Brich Shemay it says Ano Avda De Kutcha Brichu. I am an eved not to Hashem. I am an eved of Hashem. That means that my entire metzius, my entire essence, is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am an eved totally of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to. I'm not le parei b'mitzrayim, but ano avdo dikutcha bruka. So I think that there is this chiluk. Now, the only question that I had on this pshat was from a Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Yudalit Amud Aleph, asks the question, why is it that we do not say Hallel on Purim? So one of the answers that the Gemara gives is, Rava Amar, you say Hallel on Pesach when we come out of Mitzrayim, but you don't say Hallel on Purim. Why? Bishloim Ahasim, over there by Pesach, Halolu Avdei Hashem, the Jews are Avdei Hashem, V'loi Avdei Paroi. We are no longer the Avodim Paroi. Elohacha, Halolu Avdei Hashem, V'loi Avdei Achashverish. We're Avodim of Hashem and not Avodim of Achashverish. Akati Avdei Achashverish Anan. We're still Avodim of Achashverish. So the Gemara says that even after we got saved from Paroi, from Haman and from Achashverosh, we remain Avdei Achashverosh. So here it doesn't say Avdei Le Achashverosh. It says Avdei Achashverosh, like Eved Hashem, like Avdei Paroi, that we explained it means their whole essence was. So what's the Gemara saying here? So Rashi says that the only thing that we stopped by, this is the simple pshat, the only thing that was stopped in Purim was we didn't get killed. Rashi says, Deloy nigalu ela min amisa. They still were the slaves of Achashverosh. He didn't kill them. They weren't free from Achashverosh. They weren't killed. But perhaps, I was thinking, maybe, that the idea is, we had a shiur, we spoke out from Shimshon Pinchas, Zitzal. He said, you remember that shiur that, lo'avdam, lo'avdam, right? And we said, lo'i bedam, the word lo'avdam, to destroy them, is not in blood. That really, it was the worst gzera that ever happened to the Jewish people, because every Jew was supposed to get killed. Why? Shenenu misuda shaloise Russia. They had pleasure. They ate the kosher food at the big big dinner that Achashverosh made for everybody, and they sold their soul to Achashverosh. They ate kosher, but they had pleasure from Achashverosh. So that was considered so bad. They like abandoned Hashem, and they became Avdei Achashverosh. They became enslaved to Achashverosh. Their metzias, their essence, became part and parcel with Achashverosh. They weren't avodim to Achashverosh. They were Avdei Achashverosh. They were owned by Achashverosh by getting so close to and having Hanoah from this Russia. So even though it wasn't signed in blood, had it been signed in blood, it would mean that this gzera is irrevocable. It cannot go back. It was only in ink or in mud. It was able to be erased, the gzera, but they got saved from Misa. They didn't get killed. But the roshem of that they're slaves of Achashverosh, maybe that Klal Yisrael, they did tshuva. They did enough tshuva that they couldn't get killed, but maybe they still they to a large extent, they were still Avdei Achashverosh, not Le'Achashverosh. Their Metzius was Achashverosh. I was thinking that even today, I just became part of the iPhone generation. So I heard from Rabbi Wallerstein. He said that, I don't think he has one. He doesn't have a computer. He has nothing. He said it's called the web because it ensnares you like a spider's web. And that's why he says on the computers and everything, you have the word escape. Yeah. It doesn't say end or terminate. It's escape. You have to escape it because you get. And I see. I'm using this machine a few days. You get enveloped in it. So in other words, you get addicted to it. And if you use it carefully as a tool, I don't know yet how to do it, and I don't plan to learn. How to get into the internet. I'm using it.
I know.
Yes. But I'm saying.
How they know.
Right. The point is that so in other words, Chas v'Shalom, that we the American culture, we can get ensnared that in the web, we can become Chas v'Shalom Avdei de America. Avdei le'America, not de. De means of. We're speaking about. No, I'm wrong. I'm saying we can Chas v'Shalom become our essence, that we become Avdei Achashverosh anan. We're still avodim in golus. We saved ourselves from death, but perhaps the roishim of what we did wrong remains then in Achashverosh's time and until our own time. So perhaps this is the idea. That is correct. You could use it as a
email is internet.
But I'm saying Google and that. I'm staying away from. It's a very good tool, but you have to use it with great caution. Okay. Now I wanted to go one step further, having to do with Sfiras Omer. Time. Time is also something that an Eved doesn't own. His master owns his time. He's on call for his master 24/7, 365 days a year. He's totally, at any time, 3 in the morning, his Adon wants him to do something, he has to be available. There's no, I'll see you in 2 hours, I need some more sleep. Whenever his master wants him, he has to be on call. So now, as Rav Schlesinger said, we have to divert our avdus that we had to Paroi, and now we have to channel the same thing. We have to channel it in a positive use of avdus. We have to channel it to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So over Pesach, I heard a very nice discussion about time. From Rav, he's from Mexico City. He's here in Lakewood on a sabbatical from his shul. His name is Rav Shlomo Yitzchak Antabi, and he spoke. He said, "What is the whole idea of Sfiras Omer?" So there's many pshatim. One pshat is the famous pshat. The Chinuch says we're counting up towards that great day of Shavuos, of Kabbalah HaTorah. We're going a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 7 weeks, till we get up to the date that we're all waiting for, Kabbalah HaTorah on Shavuos. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says a different idea. Sur Meira V'asei Toiv. On Pesach, we left Mitzrayim, we went away from evil. And now during the 7 weeks of Svira, I say toiv, we go higher and higher. He said a very interesting thing. He said, when we say we go away from the bad of Mitzrayim and we go towards the Kedusha and the good of Shavuos, of the Torah, but we have to leave the Ra totally behind. He said, a marshal, there was once a very, you know, like a 400, 500 pound fella. And everybody told him, you're going to go on like this. It's a death sentence. You have to go on a diet. You have to go to a doctor. Okay, so he decides he's going to listen, and he goes to the doctor. So the doctor asks him, what do you eat for breakfast? Oh, breakfast, I eat 10 rolls and, French fries. And he described similarly his breakfast, lunch, and supper. And there was no wonder why he weighed 400 pounds. So he told him, that was as of today. Starting tomorrow, breakfast is you have this diet. You have two slices of whole wheat bread, and you have one egg. Everyone knows the diets that nutritionists give, and that's okay. So fine, okay, he accepted it. A half hour later, a doctor gets a knock on the door. He comes in, this guy, and he says, oh, I forgot to ask the doctor one thing. When do I eat this? Do I eat this before my regular meal or after? So he said, no, you don't understand. This is instead of your regular meal. So when we say Sur Merav Asei Toiv, doesn't mean that you go to the good, but you still keep the bad with you. No, Sur Merav. You have to be cold turkey away from the Ra and accept the diet Asei Toiv. So that's the normal. But he wanted to say this, Rav Entebbe, it's his own idea, that what Sviras Oimer teaches us, and perhaps this is a tool, how a person acquires Torah and mitzvahs, a person has to become aware of the chashivus hazman, the importance of time. And he said a very nice idea that... he says, the problem we have is that our clocks are, the old-fashioned clocks are round. And we see the dial turning. And now it's 1:30, so tomorrow, 24 hours, again 1:30. We don't see time flying by. He says, the best way that we could be... to have kashivas for Zman is if we would have 120 years, let's say, on a linear horizontal, and we would see how all of this time, we're up to this point in our life, all of this time is behind us, and this is what we have left, and so that, wow, look, everything's behind us, what did I do in all this time? On the iPhone, they have something like that. They have, when you have the daily calendar, so they have a line exactly the minute you are, 9:27 at night. You have a line through the daily calendar of 24 hours, and you, whoop, it's 9, all this time up to the line is gone. I'm going to go to bed 11, 12 o'clock. I got 2.5 hours left of today. You get a little bit of an idea of losing time and what you have left. He said the best thing would be if time would be horizontal, that you could see, or a vertical line, not a clock with dials that goes round and round, where you don't get the appreciation of what time is. He said, this is an extreme thing for us, but it gives us an idea how Gdolim looked at time. The Chafetz Chaim didn't wear shoes with laces. Why? Somebody asked him once, why doesn't the rub? He says, in the morning, it takes to put on the with the laces takes a half a minute. At night, take it off, undo it, another half a minute. That's 1 minute a day. 7 days, that's 7 minutes. In a month, that's 30 minutes. That's already a half hour. In 2 months, it's an hour. And you go with this cheshbon, the Chofetz Chaim lived till over 90. You go, I don't know, you make the cheshbon. It could be a year of your life. You add up all these half a minute. So the Chofetz Chaim, this shows us how the Chofetz Chaim was machshiv time. I just want to close with this idea based on a Gemara in Megillah. So Sviras Oimer is the pshat that all of a sudden we look around. Today is the 15th day of the Omer. Oh, wow, we just finished Pesach. It's already 2 weeks and a day gone. So it gives that, if you want to be Kona de Torah on the seventh week, look how the time flies by. Time, marches on. It doesn't stop. And we have to take chashivas of every moment of time. So, the most important thing is that a person, the time right now, a lot of people are stuck in their past. A lot of people are apprehensive about their future. What a person has to do is the moment right now, whatever I'm doing right now, I have to do the best that I can and be machshav this moment right now. So this I would like to bring out from a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah goes on a pasuk in Yeshua, Perik Hei. Vayihi biyos Yeshua biyurichoi. Yeshua was in Yericho. They were surrounding Yericho. And he opens up his eyes and he sees that there was a man standing ahead of him. This man, he told him, he said, I am a Tsar of Hashem. Ki ani Tsar Tzvo Hashem. So the Yeshua asked him, why did you come here? He understood that the Malach of Hashem is coming, that Klal Yisrael and Yeshua did something wrong. So Yeshua said to the Malach, Halonu ato im litzarenu. Are you one of us? The simple pshat, are you one of us or do you belong to the enemy? Who are you? And he answered him, I'm a Tsar Hashem. And then he used the words atobasi, I came now. So the Gemara explains that Yeshua understood that Hashem sent the Malach because they have to improve. They did something wrong. So what are you coming for? Halonu ata, Tosfos explains, Torah tziva lonu Moshe. They didn't learn Torah that night. They surrounded Yericho. They didn't learn Torah at night. And Rashi says, at night is a time when you could learn. You're not doing battle at night. Today, they could do battle 24 hours a day. But in the old times, they could only do it when you could see. So, halonu ata Torah tziva lonu Moshe. Are you coming for lonu? Imlet sorenu. Are you coming for our enemies? Means, because korbanos protect Klal Yisrael from their enemies. They did a second aver. The second aver was that the Kohanim did not bring the evening korban hatamid. Tamid shalbein arbayim. There's one in the morning, they brought it, but the one at night they didn't bring. So are you coming on Torah? Torah tziva lonu Moshe? Or litzarenu? Are you coming because of the korbanos that we didn't bring, which protect us from the enemies? That was Yeshua. Yeshua knew it's one of these two things we did wrong. Which one are you coming for? He answered, Atobasi. I came now. So the Gemara said, Omar loy, the Malach said to Yeshua, Emes, yesterday bitaltem tamit shabein arbayim. You didn't bring the second korban tamit. Va'achshav, and now, at night, he came to him at night, bitaltem tamit Torah. You didn't learn. Which one am I coming for? Which one am I coming for? Atobasi. I'm coming for now. So the Tosfos says, you know which one I'm coming for? I'm coming for Talmud Torah. Because the Pasuk says in the beginning of Hazinu, Va'ata, at the end of Hazinu, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazois. Write down this song, means write down the Torah. Torah is called a song. So he said, Atobasi. He was referring to the Pasuk of Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazois. I'm not coming for your lack of bringing the korban tamid. I'm coming because of Torah. So the Panovitcher Rav asks a question. The Panovitcher Rav asks that Tosfos himself says that they weren't fighting at night. But what do you do at night if you're surrounding a city and you're going to have a major fight? You have strategies. You're planning what to do. So it's understandable that they should be potter. What was the taina? What did Klal Yisrael do wrong? They weren't learning? If a person's life is in danger, you can't say to them, "Hey, you didn't learn." You're potter. You're
learning or karbonis?
Learning. No, there were two. Learning and karbonis. They did two things wrong. But what was the malach coming? What was the main problem, what they did wrong? He said, atobasi. The simple pshat is, I'm not coming for what you did wrong yesterday. In other words, mincha time of yesterday, before night. We start the day always at night. I'm not coming for mincha, what you didn't bring to Talmud Shorben Arbaim. I'm coming ato, now. Akshav bitaltem. Now you didn't learn Torah. Why aren't you learning Torah?
Because so, their strategy was that they are winning the war?
No, they weren't learning because legitimately they were busy with the war, even though they're not actually fighting, but they're busy with the war preparations and strategies and meetings and this. What are we going to do tomorrow? How, if the enemy goes here, what are we going to do? They were busy. So we can understand that they weren't learning if they were in the middle of a war, even if they weren't actually fighting
so
at that moment.
So they didn't understand that davening to Hashem would have been better than doing that?
So the Panovich Rav asked, so what is the taina on them that they did something wrong? Halachically, if you went to a Rav and you asked the Rav, do I have to learn at this moment when we're surrounding a city and we have to figure out how we're going to win the war, the Rav would say, you're pkuach nefesh and you're potter from learning Torah. So what was if you're potter, then what was the malach coming to Yeshua and saying, I'm coming not for yesterday, that was korbanis? No, I'm coming for Ato Achshav Bitaltem Talmud Torah. What did they do wrong? The Panovich Rav said they did nothing wrong. You know what the taina was? The taina was the pasuk. Va'ato kisu lachem es hashira hazois. If Torah is a song by a person, if a person has such an enthusiasm for Torah and mitzvahs, then even if he's potter, he'll learn anyway. Yes. They could get a heter not to learn. But that was a siman. If they weren't learning, it was a siman that there was a weakness in their commitment to learning Torah. If they would have considered Torah as the essence of their life and they would be so enthusiastic about learning Torah, then they would have learned even though they're potter. That was the va'ato. I'm coming on ato. What's the ato? Va'ato kisu lachem es hashira hazois. So my question, I've learned this Panovich Rav many times and heard it many times, but I had a question now. So why didn't the Malach say to them, Al Hashira Bossi? The main, what's that pasuk? Va'ata kisu lachem es Hashira. The Panovich Rav's beautiful thought is that if Torah is a song, if you're so enthusiastic about Torah, then you'll learn it in any circumstance.
Even
Bein Hazmanim, right. That's right. That's right. Even Bein Hazmanim. Even when you have a ptur, let's say, the person has to rest up. And that.
Yeah.
No, but if Torah is a song, if you're enthusiastic about Torah, you're not going to waste a day not to learn. So that was the taina on them. Why weren't you more? And then it says that Yeshua did tshuva. He came to Ai, and it says, Vayolin Yeshua Belaila Zeh Hahu Mitoicha Emek, in the valley. And Rabbi Yochanan says, what does it mean? Melamed Shalon Beumka Shal Alocha. Emek, the valley, means the depths of Alocha. Yeshua, and I accept the Musar, I did something wrong. And by Ai, this was Yericho, where he did something wrong. When he came to the city of Ai, then he rested in the depths of Alocha. Even though he was potter, he had a war now with Ai. He was potter? No, but I'm enthusiastic. I get the idea. I have to be enthusiastic about Torah. Even if I'm potter, I don't have to learn. So my question was, why the word ata? Why not the word shira? According to the Panovich Rav, the main idea of this pasuk is va'ata. That's what we're using. The Malach said, ata bossi, I'm coming now. But he means va'ata ata kisu lachem. As Hashira Azois, Torah has to be a song. So he should have said, you know what I'm coming on? On Hashira. I'm coming on the Shira. That was the main critique of what the Jews were doing wrong.
And what did he say again? Yeah.
He said va'ata. He used the word ata, referring, that's how Tosfos explains, referring to the pasuk va'ata, and now kisla chametz shiras ois. So the answer that I think is, my Rebbe, Rabbi Matl Katzitzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tal, said, im loy achshav emosai, if not now, then when? So you say, not now, so, okay, tomorrow. I'll learn tomorrow. I'll learn next day. I'll learn next week. Im loy achshav emosai, when? Achshav. The achshav is gone. Now, that is gone forever. Yes, tomorrow is tomorrow. Next week is next week. Im loy achshav, if you don't learn now, emosai, when will you capture the achshav? Never. It's gone. Once you don't utilize that moment, it's gone. So that's what the Malach was saying to Yeshua. In fact, it fits into the words, emes yesterday betaltim talmud shebein arbayim. I'm not coming for that. Va'achshav betaltim talmud Torah. Now you were mevatel talmud Torah. What's the proof that Torah is a song by a person? That's if he utilizes every minute of time. If the present, this achshav, va'achshav bataltem, I'm coming on the achshav, va'ata, now. Va'ata is spelled here with ayin, not with aleph, not you, but va'ata, now. I'm coming on the here and now, right now. Why aren't you utilizing this moment? Time is so precious. So by a person who Torah is a shira, and this, of course, is mainly shmooze for yeshiva brachim, we have to learn all day. But for women as well, every moment of our lives, we have opportunities to help people, to do chesed, to daven, every moment of our lives. So there's always a question we're going to be asked by Hashem, Ata. If Torah is a shira, then you're not going to, you're in the middle of a war, it doesn't matter. Every moment of my life, I want to contribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm enthusiastic. If you're enthusiastic about Torah mitzvahs, you're not going to waste a moment. This moment right now, I'm not going to waste. So that's what the Malach says. Va'achshav betaltim Talmud Torah. You were over imloy achshav emasai. You're missing the achshav. That's a sign that the shira, that Torah is not a shira. If Torah would be a shira, then you would be machshiv every moment of zman. That's the lesson of Sfiras Omer, that the time we count, a day, a week, 2 weeks, that time marches on, where it gives us by counting every day, we suddenly, oh, we're on the 15th day, and we already since Pesach, 2 weeks and a day have gone by, and that's how quickly time marches on. We have to develop an appreciation of every moment, that's part of being an Eved Hashem. If we're dedicated, not only our limbs and our chushim, our senses, but our time is not ours. Our time belongs to the Rabbi Shalom. And if we want to attain the level of Eved Hashem, which we said is Avda Dikutcha Brichu, not Avodim LeHashem, but Avde Hashem. Avde Hashem is an Eved Dikutcha. Deh means of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to Hashem. Torah and mitzvah have to become our essence. And in this way, we'll be properly utilizing the Sfiras Omer period to go, May Avdus to the Cheiris, Ein Lecha Ben Chorin, Elamisha Osik BaTorah. The only free person is a person who utilizes every moment of their lives for Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, so the story of the maral, we know that there's a minig
on the story of what?
The Pesach maral. Everybody knows that there's a custom in Kol Yisrael to bake shlissel challah. The first Shabbos after Pesach. The simple understanding is it's chus parnasa because the mon fell after Pesach, and this shows we recognize that all our parnasa comes from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So people make the key to parnasa is Hashem. Yeah. So we put a key with silver foil. My wife bakes it with the key, and I see here it says that you take the key out before baking. You just make an indentation.
Other people.
other people braid the challah in such a way. It looks like a key. Okay, so now this is a fascinating story of the Maralb, what this minig is based on. Here's the story. One year on the first night of Pesach, when the Kehillah finished davening Ma'ariv and everyone had already gone home, the Shamish of the great synagogue walked into his house and went to hang up his large key ring. Now the Shamish had many keys on one string, including the key to the gate of the courtyard, the front door of the shul, the Aron HaKodesh, etc. And he always hung the large key ring on a nail in its appointed place in his home. This night, however, after hanging the keys, when he reached the table to begin the Seder and recited Kadesh, the first section of the Agoda, he heard a crash as the keys fell to the ground. He looked over to find the keys on the floor, and he hung them up on the nail again, making sure that they were secure and tight. But once again, as he tried to begin the Seder, the keys fell down, and then again, and again. The Shamish was frightened, as he was sure that this was a significant omen. He had no idea, though, what this would indicate. Thus, he ran with tremendous fear to his Rebbe, the great Maral, and told him about the case of the mysterious fallen keys. The Maral told him to return home and to take the key ring apart. Then he should try hanging each key separately on the nail to see which key was the culprit, causing all the other keys to fall. The Shamish did as he was instructed. He hung each key on the nail individually, and one by one they did not fall. However, when he hung the key to the Aron Kodesh on the nail, it immediately slipped off the nail. He tried to hang it again, and it fell again. He knew that the key to the Aron HaKodesh was the cause of the issue, so he went back to his Rebbe, the Maral. The Maral told him to go to the shul and see if there was something significant in the Aron HaKodesh. The Shamish searched and he found a wine bottle that was left there for Kiddush. On closer examination, though, he saw that the bottle had been filled with blood. He went back and told the Maral. The Maral instructed him to clean the bottle well to ensure there was no trace of blood left in it and then replace it with fine red wine. Then lock the wine in the Aron HaKodesh again and go home without telling anyone what happened. He did as he was told, and now when he returned the keys to the nail, they remained on the wall and did not fall again. The next day during davening, a large group of Gentiles led by the local troublesome priest barged into the shul, bringing the police with them. They began screaming that the Jews had murdered a Gentile, and they knew there was a ball of his blood somewhere in the synagogue. This understandably caused quite a stir in the shul. The police searched all over, and the priest walked directly to the Aron HaKodesh to open it, as if he were certain that he would find evidence there. But the Maral blocked his path, saying he would not allow a priest to place his impure hands on the holiest place in the synagogue. The priest cried to the police that he was certain that the poor Gentile's blood was there, since it is clear that the Jewish rabbi would not allow him to search this area. The Maral said he would open the Aron HaKodesh himself, but would not allow a no-good priest to do so. He opened the Aron HaKodesh and showed him the Sifrei Torah. And the priest noticed the bottle. Triumphantly, he cried out, "Aha! Here is the ball of blood we are looking for." The Maral denied this and said, "Blood? This is a bottle of wine, not blood." They checked and confirmed it was indeed wine. The Gentiles walked out confused and embarrassed, and the Jews smiled joyously. To commemorate this miracle, the Maral said they should really place keys in the matzah on the first night of Pesach. However, since this is impossible, they should commemorate the miracle on the first Shabbos after Pesach by placing a key in the challah baked for the Shabbos meal.